We're holding on Mem Gimel Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom. We learned yesterday about what the mayor says about white strings and tchelis, that if a person fails to put on white strings on his corners for on the corners of his garments for tzitzis, then it's considered a more severe thing than not putting on tchelis, because tchelis, you could say, it was hard to get in the mashal that he used. It was like telling a servant to go get a piece of gold for a seal, as opposed to the other one is like getting a piece of clay, which is much easier to get, and the same thing, the white strings are much easier to get. So now the Gemara brings a couple of other braises of things that a mayor used to say. Tanya, how you got mayor? I have Adam Lavorach Meir Brachas B'chol Yom. A person is obligated to say 100 brachas every day. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Va'ata Yisrael, now says that Moshe to the Jewish people, Mo Hashem Alekecha Shoyl Me'imach, what is Hashem asking of you? So we daushen the word Mo as if it said Meir. Says Rashi. Tosfos points out a couple of possibilities. One way of looking at it is that the word shoyl, even though in the Sefer Torah it's written without the vav, it's written shin aleph lamed, but we could say as though it was written shoyl with a vav, and therefore you actually have 100 letters in the pasuk. Another possibility is the word ma. In Atbash, you take the mem interchanges with a yud, the hay with a tzaddik, yud plus tzaddik equals 100. Another possibility is when you put in that letter aleph, then you have if you put in the letter aleph into the word ma, and you have mea, then you actually have 100 letters. Maharshal talks about the idea that it symbolizes the idea the same way as when you have a pile of grain or produce or whatever, you have 1/100th of it. You give your truma and you give your meiser rishon and so forth, and you have your trumas meiser 1/100th of the total, which goes to the kohen. You have truma, but then you have trumas meiser, which is 1/100th. So the same way over here, you have that you have out of 100 brachas that you do, there comes one to the neshama being a chelik of a kavi mamish, and therefore in token of that, we actually have the aleph missing from the pasuk. And then that one grows into 100, basically. Is how Maharshal explains it. I'll be Kabbalah kind of. One point is, Mefarshim explain what forced the mayor to give this drasha is because what do you mean, Ma Hashem Shel Mima? What is Hashem asking of you? It's not just such a simple thing. The Gemara points out Yiras Shemayim is a tremendously big thing. So the Gemara answers in Brachas that relative to Moshe, Mil Sezutra, see, it's a small thing. The Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya that it means that each of us has a Moshe Rabbeinu inside us for whom it's an easy thing, but still in Posh Pshat, it's a little hard to understand, and therefore the Gemara is understanding that Moshe is saying, you have to say 100 Brachas, that's what Hashem wants of you. It's also brought in Midrash that in Dabra Melech's times there was a plague. Every day 100 Jews were dying, Rahman al-Islam. So they realized they have to make the sakana of 100 brachas every day, and the poskim calculate in some detail how we get that. You know, 57 brachas and 3 tefillos of Shema, between the 3 tefillos of Shemoneh Esrei, and the various other brachas in davening, brachas on food, brachas on going to the bathroom, etc. And a person is able to make up 100 brachas a day, and a person has to be particular to do that, says the mayor. So the Gemara says, what about now? What about on Shabbos and Yom Tov? You have fewer brachas. Because again, for example, a large part of it comes from Shemoneh Esrei, but on Shabbos and Yom Tov, you only have 7 brachas in Shemoneh Esrei instead of 8. Okay, you have 4 Shemoneh Esreis, but still. So, Rav Chiya Breder of Ivya, the Shabbos over Yom Tov, on Shabbos and Yom Tov, Rav Chiya Breder of Ivya, Torah, Umali Lahubi, Isparmaki Umagodim. He would take the trouble and make sure that he still fills up his 100 brachas with various kinds of delicacies. Spamaki means spices, and begodi, various kinds of delicacies that require a bracha. So in other words, throughout the day, at different times, he would be eating things or smelling things so that he's able to fill up those missing brachas that you don't have on Shabbos. Some posts can say that you can also be yotze by saying omen to somebody else's bracha, in which case, for example, they count, let's say you have those 8 aliyahs on Shabbos, and each ola is making, a couple is making 2 brachas, so that gives you another 16, right? Okay, so that's your 100 brachas. Tanya, then we learn in a braisa, hayura meyer omer, chayavonim lavorach sholosh brachas b'chol yom. Among those 100 brachas, says your meyer, there's 3 particular brachas that a person has to say every day. Eluhain, and they are as follows. The first one, she'asani Yisrael, that Hashem made me a Jew. Now, we don't say that. We say, shaloi asani goy. And in fact, there is reason to... argue, there was reason to argue that the sort of post can bring it. In fact, lawyer standing good, and in fact, it may be that when it has over here in the Gemara, in the printed Gemara, Shas Ani Yisrael is something that was changed by the censors, and the original thing really is supposed to be Shaloyah standing good. And that's how it is with halacha. Tackle, why do we say Shaloya Sani Goy rather than Shasani Yisrael? So the Bach brings an explanation. You know, you have a Gemara in Eruvin where the Gemara says this Shama and this will argue is a person better off having been born or not having been born. And the conclusion was a person might be better off not having been born, because after all, the Neshama would have been up in Shamayim and not exposed to all the dangers here on earth. But now that a person exists, then he has to work on Torah and Mitzvahs. So therefore, instead of saying the Bracha in the positive sense, Shasani Yisrael, Instead we say Shaloyah Sani Goy. Hashem didn't have to make me in the first place, but as long as he did, I'm happy and I'm making a bracha that he didn't make me a goy. And the Bach himself gives another answer as well. Once you say Shasani Yisrael, automatically that would mean and I'm chayev in all the mitzvahs that a yid is chayev in. Then there would be no room for saying the other brachas Shaloyah Sani Oven and Shaloyah Sani Isha. So therefore, instead we say Shaloyah Sani Goy, meaning I'm not a goy. I have many mitzvahs. Then on top of that, I'm not an Eved, and I'm not an Isha, and I have even more mitzvahs than that, because Avodim and women are not chayev in all the mitzvahs. So, there's a pichsidus, there's the idea, every day, as we know, the Neshama goes up to Shemayim, every night, the Neshama goes up to Shemayim, and every day, Hashem sends it back down to us, refreshed. Every day, we have what to thank Hashem for, that we didn't get, when Hashem sends down our Neshama, that we didn't get the Neshama of a Goy, or that we didn't have a Neshama that's attached to the Neshama of a Goy, or something like that, and therefore, every day, we can make the bracha that Hashem did not make me a Goy. So that's the first bracha. The second one says, Rameh Shaloya Sani Isha, that he didn't make me a woman, because women, after all, are not chayev in all the mitzvahs. And you have the famous question, what do women say instead? Some women don't say bracha there at all. Others have the minhag to say, Shasani Kirtzone, that Hashem made me the way he wants me. And the third one says, Rameh Shaloya Sani Bur, that Hashem did not make me a bur. A bur would be an empty person who is not only a bur is even worse than an amaretz. We have in Pirkei Avos, Loi ein bur yirechei, v'loi amaretz chasin. A bur is somebody who has nothing. He has no knowledge of Torah and not even midas tovus. So the mayor is saying that would be the third bracha to say. However, Rav Acha bar Yaakov Shama the Brei Dava Kamavarech Shaloyah Sani Bur. However, Rav Acha bar Yaakov heard his son making that bracha Shaloyah Sani Bur. Omalei, but Rav Acha says Kula Hai Nami. Are you praising yourself to that extent? What do you mean? You're praising yourself that you're an Ama Aret. That you're not an Amoret, so that's not an appropriate bracha to say. Rav Meir holds that you should say it, but that's not how it should be. Or Rashi says a second explanation. It means that Rav Acha bar Yaakov is telling his son, Mela, to make a bracha that you're not a goy or you're not a woman. Okay, they don't have as many mitzvahs. So therefore, it's appropriate to make Hashem, to make a bracha thanking Hashem for giving us the mitzvahs they don't have. But a bur is chayev in all the mitzvahs that everybody else is in. So how can you be thanking Hashem for not making you a bur? Tosfos mentions another point as well, which is a real boor like that, somebody who really doesn't have any, who doesn't have any knowledge of Torah and no derecheres, is a very uncommon thing. So that would be another reason why not to say such a bracha. In addition, also, I mean, the Keren Ora points out that after all, it's a matter of Bechira Chofshis, too. A person who is a boor has Bechira Chofshis to not be. So how can you say that Hashem didn't make me a boor? And if you are a boor, then it's your responsibility not to be one. Anyway, so the son says, Elamayim Mevarech. Okay, so what should be the bracha that I should say instead? The fact is, Rav Meir said we should say three brachas. If the third one isn't Shaloyah Sani Boor, what should it be? So Rav Acha tells him Shaloyah Sani Oved. The third one should be Shaloyah Sani Oved. So the son asks, Hainu Isha, well, that amounts to the same thing as a woman. As far as meaning, Rashi says, again, two explanations. Number one, a woman is subject to her husband, like an Eved to their master. So therefore, by saying Shaloyah Sani Isha, automatically includes Shaloyah Sani Oved. Also, as far as Chiyuv of Mitzvahs, is exactly the same thing. Women, any Mitzvahs that women are Chayev in, Avodim are Chayev, Avodim Knanim are Chayev in, and vice versa. So if Rabacha answers him, Eved zilt fei. The answer is that an Eved is much more degraded. So therefore, even we're making a bracha thanking Hashem for not making us a woman. There's nothing degrading about being a woman, just because he's not chayav in as many mitzvahs. But an Eved is more degraded, so therefore, yes, his chiyuv and mitzvahs may be the same, and his status may be in a certain sense the same, in the sense that he's also subject to a higher power. Nevertheless, though, it's appropriate to make a bracha that Hashem didn't make you an Eved. Then Rashi says it's a zeal, according to that, would mean degraded. On the other hand, Rashi brings a second explanation. That's Rashi's first explanation. Second explanation is the word zeal is the Aramaic word for go. So according to that, we don't have the word eved in the Gemara. He just tells him zil tfei, go tfei, and make another bracha, namely shalayasani oved, and that way you'll have the three brachas. So we do that. That's how we do the three brachas. We do shalayasani oved before shalayasani isha, and the reason is, Because, again, an Eved, given that the Gemara is saying over here, is more degraded than a woman, then it's appropriate to do it in the order. First, that Hashem didn't create us a goy, meaning we have more than seven mitzvahs. Then, that Hashem didn't create us being degraded like an Eved. And then, on top of that Hashem didn't make us a woman, not only that we have the dignity of a Jew, and we have all the mitzvahs of a Jewish man, unlike a Jewish woman who's lacking some mitzvahs. Getting back to tzitzis now, the Gemara says, Tanan Abanan, chilozen ze gufoy doyma liyam, the chilozen from which the tchelis is made, its body resembles the sea. On the face of it, that means it's the color of the sea, but we'll talk about a little bit what that means. Ubriyose doyma the dog, the shape of it resembles a fish. It comes up once every 7 years. It actually says it comes up from the earth. A little hard to understand what that means, because on the face of it, it's some kind of marine creature. So there are Mephoshim who explain that it means that it comes from the sea onto the land, or in the way, maybe instead of the word min ha'aretz, it actually should be al ha'aretz, or another explanation is it means it comes up from the seabed. Echad l'shivim shana, it comes up once in 7 years. Over Dumit, so even Tchelas, and then its blood is used to dye Tchelas. Elsewhere, Tosfos explains, based on certain other Gemaras, that it's not literally its blood, it's rather there's a sac in the creature's body that produces the secretion from which they make Tchelas. Lefichach, and because it comes out only once every 7 years, Dumit of Yikarim, therefore it's very expensive, and therefore, as we learned yesterday, Reb Meir says that if a person doesn't put Tchelas, then he's less punishable for that, because fine, he has an excuse that it was expensive, and he couldn't get a hold of it. So based on this little piece of Gemara, and based on some other parallel Gemaras and Midrashim, is where the whole discussion comes about what exactly is the creature that is the chalazin, which, as we've talked about off and on the last couple of days, even the Gemara is saying that it looks like the sea. So does that mean that it's bluish in color? Of the creatures that have been identified tentatively as the chalazin, some of them are that color, some not, and then there's an argument what that means. Does doyma liyam mean the color of the sea, or, for example, is enough, for example, that it just means that it camouflages itself among the rocks in the sea, and that's considered doyma liyam? When we say doyma the dog, it resembles a fish. Does that mean it actually has to have the body plan of a fish? In that case, then none of the creatures that have been identified as that have been suggested to be the chalazin would be it, because whether it's a cuttlefish or whether it's two types of shellfish, none of them resemble a fish. So then the counter argument would be that doyma the dog doesn't necessarily mean that it looks like a fish with fins and scales, but rather just that it's a marine creature of some kind. Then on top of that, you have the question, can you use non-kosher species for a mitzvah? And one of the answers is that maybe it's only when you're using the actual thing itself. For example, leather from it for tefillin, batim, or ritzuris, or parashias, or what have you, then it has to be from a kosher animal. Here, where you're only using a pigment from it, maybe that doesn't apply, and you could even use something from a non-kosher creature. We say it comes up once every 7 years. What does that mean exactly? Then none of these creatures seem to have a 70-year life cycle. So there's a lot of discussion about that. And the result is that, again, like we talked about yesterday, there are three major creatures that have been proposed to be the source of tchelas. The common cuttlefish is one, a type of shellfish called jantana, as well as another one. The cuttlefish was proposed by the Radzini Rebbe, Gershon Henoch Lehner, 140 or so years ago. The jantana was proposed by Rabbi Isaac Herzog, and then other researchers since then have come up with a possible third one called trunculus, murex, hexaplex trunculus. Sepal, as it's called in scientific terminology. They found many shells of it along the coast of Eretz Yisrael, so they suggest that it was used for dyeing and it was used for tchelas as well. And again, each one has its, you know, each one has its positives and negatives and its pros and cons and so forth. And there's an enormous amount of discussion about it. And then you have many, many chachamim who say that until Mashiach comes, we're not going to have tchelas, period. And that's that. The Gemara continues. Tanya, Omer Rav Nosson, Ein l'chokom mitzvah kala sheksuv v'torah. There's not a single light, which is to say, easy mitzvah in the Torah. She'ein machin schorah ba'olam hazeh. That there's no reward for it in olam hazeh. So in other words, even though we usually say there are certain mitzvahs, edu dvarim she'adam echol pyrasein ba'olam hazeh, ba'akeren kaim v'salam haba. So it's only certain mitzvahs. Nevertheless, though, says Rav Nosson, the fact is, even the lightest mitzvah has a reward in this world. What do we mean the lightest mitzvah? Rashi says that it means because it's just an essay. There's only an essay involved in tzitzis, unlike many other mitzvahs where there are loose essays as well. Maushaw adds that also, in other words, relative to, you have mitzvahs that involve mitzvahs based in chorus, all kinds of things like that. So here you have, it's just kala, it's kala relative to many other mitzvahs, which have much harsher things involved with them. So the Tzon Kodshim points out, practically speaking, also it's a fairly easy mitzvah to do, as opposed to many other mitzvahs. It's kala as far as it costs very little, etc. Sha'ein matan schorah ba'olam hazeh, that you don't get that a person gets a reward for it even in this world. Ola olam haba, any idea kama, and when it comes to olam haba, you can't even imagine how much reward a person would get for it. Say olamad mi mitzvah tzitzis. Answer, Rav Nosson says, come and then you can see that from a story involving the mitzvah of tzitzis. Where a person was diligent with the mitzvah of tzitzis, and then you can see the reward he got for it in olam hazeh. What happened? There was a certain person who was very careful with the mitzvah of tzitzis. He also had a yetzahara, though. He heard a report that there was a certain zoyna, a goita, in the cities near the sea, trying to tell us, her fee was 400 gold coins, which was an enormous amount of money. Well, he was rich. He was able to afford it. He had a yetzahara. Shigula abameis lehovim. He sent her the 400 gold coins. The kavol asman, and he arranged a time when he's going to come to visit. Ki giasmani, when it came his appointment, ki giasmani bava yashav ala pesach. He came and sat by the door of her house. Nichnas shivchaser, her maidservant. Came and told her, the Zoyna's maidservant came and told her, but Amrullah, she tells her, Oysa'adin Shigalach, Dalad Me'asahogim, that fellow who sent you 400 gold coins, Baba Yashav Allah Pasach, is coming and sitting by the door. It's interesting that she calls him the man who sent you 400 Zahovim. It almost sounds like many other people would go and bargain her down or something, but this guy didn't. 400 Zahovim, then 400 Zahovim, that's, I'll pay the full amount. I'm not going to try bargaining. So the Zoyna says, the mistress of the house says, you can't find, let him come in. Nichnas, he comes in. Itziela Zion Mittis. She set up for him 7 beds. Stacked one on top of the other. 6 of the bed frames were made of silver, and one of them was made out of gold. Uvein kolachas v'achas sildom shal kesef ve'el yonah shal zahav. To go from one bed up to the next one, there was a silver ladder, and then to go up to the top one, there was a gold ladder. So in other words, this woman was fabulously rich. Also, the Yoshva, Gabriel Yonah, Chiaruma. So she went up and sat on the top one, undressed, ready for him. V'afu alolesh of Orem Kenegda. He also started climbing up to go and climbed up there to sit next to her, undressed. As he's getting undressed, Bo Dalad Sitziyosef, the tough cholay upon him. His 4 tzitzis came and hit him in the face. Tzon Kodshim points out the symbolism of it. We know that a Jewish man has relations with a goita, then Kanoi and Poiginbo, then you have like the famous story with Pinchas and then Zimri and Cosby, that a Kanoi kills such a person. So now by tzitzis it also says, as he's going to go on to tell him, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, so therefore that I'm going to punish, so therefore we're telling us, so the tzitzis are almost like telling him, we're going to be zealous for Hashem's honor, like Pinchas in his times, and we're going to warn you not to do this Avera. Mao Shaw also points out that we find Ani Hashem specifically, in fact, in connection with mitzvah tzitzis, and one of the actual Ani Hashem of the Kechem, Asher Tzitzis Chameres Mitzrayim, and the Gemara explains, since we've been talking about the last couple of days, that it's so easy to counterfeit the genuine Tchelis with Kola Ilon, with a substitute, indigo, and Hashem warns that I was able to tell the difference in Mitzrayim, who's a Bechor and who's not, even though the Mitzrayim men and women were really promiscuous, the same way I'll know who's putting Kola Ilon and pretending it's Tchelis, So more than anything else, then Tzitzis represents, as he's going to go on to tell her, Eidos, a testimony against him that Hashem is watching all the time. So Tzitzis went in and slapped him in the face. Nishmat v'yoshev le'agavet kaka. He slipped down and got off the beds and sat down on the ground. Ba'afi nishmat v'yoshev le'agavet kaka. She didn't know what's going on. She also slips off and goes and comes down to sit next to him on the ground. Omraloi, she says to him, Gata shol roimi. It's a lashon of shvur. Gata shol roimi. Rashi says two possibilities. It can mean gata can mean the ruler, so she's swearing by the wife of the emperor. Or the second explanation, Rashi says, is gata shol roimi is the name of the Avodah Zarah, one of the national Avodah Zarahs of Rome. Whatever, she's swearing a shvur by something that's holy to her. I'm not going to let you go. I want you to tell me what kind of defect did you see in me? You slipped off all of a sudden. You don't want to go through with this. Obviously, you must have seen something wrong with me. What is it? Omala, he tells her, ha-avoida, I swear by the avoida in the Mishnah. This is the way a yid swears. I swear by the avoida, shaloda isi isha yofa kamosa. I never saw a woman as beautiful as you. Ella, but I'll tell you why I slipped off and why I don't want to go through with it. There's a certain mitzvah that Hashem, our God, gave us. It's called tzitzis, the ksivva, and it says in it twice, Ani Hashem alakechem shtei pomim, and the last pasuk, the parashat tzitzis, Ani Hashem alakechem asher etzesi asem, me'etz mitzrayim, Ani Hashem alakechem. So twice it says, Ani Hashem alakechem shtei pomim, Ani hu sha'osad li para, v'ani hu sha'osad l'shalom schar. Hashem is hinting by that. I am the one who's going to punish a person who violates Hashem's mitzvahs, and I am the one, Hashem is also saying, who will give reward for people who keep those mitzvahs. So this guy is saying that I realized that, that the tzitzis came and slapped me in the face, and then as if they're edim, as he's going to go on to say, as if they're edim, achshav nidmu alai, kedalat edim, now they appeared to me like four edim, and they slapped me in the face, and like they're warning me, don't do this aveda. Hashem is watching, and Hashem is going to reward or punish as the case may be. Omrulai, so this goyish lady tells him, any manichat chachatemili mashimcha, umashim ircha, umashim rabcha, umashim midrosh chatashatalomid boitora. She says, I don't want to let you go until you tell me all your information. What's your name? What city do you come from? What's the name of your Rebbe? And what's the name of where you learn Torah? The fact that you learn, the fact that your Jewish Torah tells you this, I want to know more about this. Kosav, say, well, Kosav and Nosam, you ought to say, he wrote it all out and gave it to her. Omda, now she went ahead after he left. The chilka kol mechaseha. She divided up all her property, all her wealth. Shlish lamalchus. One third of it she gave to the government as a bride, basically, so they would allow her to become a geuris. Back then, it wasn't the secular authorities didn't look very kindly on a goy giving up their religion and becoming a yid. So she had to bribe them. Basically, she set aside one third of her wealth for that. Or shlish la'aniyim, then she gave one third to the poor, or shlish not la'biyada, and then she took one third of it in her hand, she converted it to ready cash, I guess, and took a bundle of it in her hand, chutz me'otzen matzois, except for when she sold off her property and whatever, she kept those beds, all those seven beds with the ladders and everything that we said before, that she kept. And she came to Rav Chiya's beis medrash. It comes out, in other words, that this guy was a Talmud of Rav Chiya. Tosfos brings though that Tosfos brings the Girsa, not Rav Chiya, but rather Reb Achiya, because Rav Chiya, the regular Rav Chiya in Shas, was a Talmud of Rebbe, who in turn was much younger than Reb Nosson, and Reb Nosson is the one telling the story over here and showing how you can see from it the reward from mitzvah. So it's not likely that Reb Nosson would be bringing a proof from a story of a Talmud of Rav Chiya. So the proper Gersa says Tosfos would be Reb Achia. Then Tosfos brings that the Tosefta has the story, although we don't have it in our editions of Tosefta, but in the Tosefta the Gersa is Reb Meir. So in that case, it works out nicely because Reb Nosson was a contemporary of Reb Meir. Anyway, so if it comes to the Beis Medrash of Reb Chiya or Reb Achia or Reb Meir or whatever, Omer Eloi, she says, Rebbe Tzave Alayv Yasun Giyuris. Give orders to your Talmidim that they should make me a Giyuris. She wants to become a Giyuris, Pashut. So Omer Eloi, he says, Biki, my daughter, Shemon Enayach Masat Be'echad Men HaTalmidim, have you maybe put your eyes on one of the Talmidim? Are you maybe trying to convert in order to marry a Yid, and we don't accept Geirim, or we don't accept Geirim for such purposes? So she took out the paper on which this Talmud had written his information, the Nosnaloy, and she gave it to Reb Chiya, and she told him the whole story. So he says to her, in that case, then it means you're becoming a Giyuris for legitimate reasons. Yes, you do maybe plan to marry this guy, but ultimately it shows that you're sincerely motivated by this guy's strength, his fortitude in that case to give up on the Avera. So then in that case he tells him, go and earn your purchase. In other words, go ahead, I'll arrange for you to become a Giyuris and you will be mutter to marry the guy. And sure enough, Oisin Matzoris, Shefetzila the Isser, those very same beds that she had originally set up for him, that they would be doing an Isser together, he'd see her like the Heter. Instead, she set up those beds, the Heter, because now they're husband and wife, and they use them the Heter. Which, by the way, it's broad and sforing. You see from this that many times you have a person is in a certain situation or a person does or doesn't do such a search. It's all min hashamayim, and yet a person has Bechir Chofshis, because many times we can talk about that Hashem prearranged that this and this would happen. The person would be in this situation. But how he gets there is purely up to his bechira. Hashem will manipulate things one way or the other where he ends up there, but it can be beheter or beisr, as in this story over here. It was min hashamayim that he's going to be lying on these beds and having relations, but he could have done it beisr, and instead he used his bechira chofshis properly and ended up doing it beheter. So says Reb Nosson, and finishes up the story. So look at the schar that he got in this world. They have this tremendous wealth, six silver and one gold bed, etc. We don't even know. We don't even know how much schar a person would get for even this mitzvah kala in Olam Haba. Okay. Continuing with Dinim of Tzitzis, Amar Rav Yehuda, Talis Sha'ula, if a person borrows a talis from somebody else, Kol Shloshim Yom Peturim Min HaTzitzis, for the first 30 days it's Potter from Tzitzis, because the Pasuk says that you have to put tzitzis on ksuscha, on your garment, implying, in other words, that it has to be, so it has to be yours. Tosfos points out that why not more than 30 days? So one thing is because of people don't normally things. People midaraisa, Tosfos says it might actually be potter forever. But midrabanan, we would say that since people don't normally borrow such things for more than 30 days, after 30 days people are not going to realize that it's borrowed. They're going to think it's his, and therefore he's going to have to put tzitzis on it. After that, it becomes chayev and tzitzis, because at that point, it's maybe not considered his, but at least people are not going to realize that it's not his. Similarly, the Gemara says, Tanya Namihochi, we learn similarly in a braisa, in the case of mezuzah, hadur b'pundiki b'Eretz Yisrael, if a person is staying in an inn in Eretz Yisrael, or a person rents a house or borrows a house for that matter in Chutz La'aretz. Kol shloshim yom potter min ha-mezuzah. So for the first 30 days, he's potter from putting up a mezuzah. Rashi says because when he rents the house for the first 30 days, he might change his mind and decide not to stay there after all. Tosfos says that again, it's a similar idea because it's not his house after all. Once he lives there 30 days, and to a certain extent, he's considered like a local. And Tosfos also points out, though, that the Gemara assumes that even though one is Dirabbanan and one is Daraisa, putting on a borrowed talis is only Dirabbanan, putting a mezuzah on a house is Daraisa, nevertheless, Tosfos says the Gemara assumes that it's similar enough. And then goes on to discuss this point. So he's potter for the first 30 days, after that he's chayev. But a person rents a house in Eretz Yisrael, oisa mezuzah alter, then he has to put up a mezuzah right away. Mishum yishuv to Eretz Yisrael because of settling Eretz Yisrael. Meaning, Rashi says, once a person has put up a mezuzah, he's less likely to take it down. Because the fact is, the halacha is, if you move out of a house and another Jew is going to move in, then you're supposed to leave the mezuzah there. So now a person likes his own mezuzah, so he's not going to want to give them up so easily, and therefore he's more likely to stay there, and therefore Eretz Yisrael will be better settled. Sfasemis gives a different explanation. Since the mezuzah protects the house, we want there should be more protection on a house from mazikin in Eretz Yisrael. So you have this din, and in practice, the post can talk about even you buy a house in Chutz La'aretz, then the same basic dinim apply. However, the minig chabad is that what we do is when you move into a house, even in Chutz La'aretz, you do put up the mezuzah right away. What you do is though, because after all, we're saying that you put it up only. That you're chayiv in it only after 30 days. So what we do in practice is we after 30 days we take down one of the mezuzahs to check it or to replace it with a nicer one or whatever, and we put that one up after it's checked. We put up a nicer one and then we can say the bracha. So that way we're accomplishing both. That way we have the protection of the mezuzah right away, and that way also though we're not making a bracha until after 30 days. Okay. Fine. Okay, now, we said in the Mishnah, Tfilah Sho Yad Eina Ma'akeves. We said the Mishnah had begun by saying that Tcheles and white threads are not ma'akev one another, which we went through the whole discussion at the beginning of the Perek, what that means. Does it mean that you can actually have one without the other, according to the Chachamim, or according to Rebbe, it meant that the order in which you put them in, or wind them, or whatever, doesn't matter so much. In any case, then the Mishnah had gone on to give another example of another example of mitzvahs that are not interdependent. You can do one without the other. The Mishnah had said the tefillin shoyad and shorosh are not ma'ak of one another. So the Gemara says, "Amar of Chista lo yishanu ela sheyeshloi." That would only apply if he has both of them and he put on only one, then he's mekayim that mitzvah. Avo emoi, but Rav Chista says if he only has one of them, ma'akeves, then it is ma'akev, and he can't put on the one that he has. Omruloi, but later on, the Chachamim asked Rav Chista, Amrit, did you really say that? Omruloi, and he says no. Because I realized, so maybe it means that he hadn't actually said it and somebody inferred it from something that he said, or maybe saying, no, I didn't mean that, but whatever. Ella, on the contrary, mandalasa, say mitzvah. If a person doesn't have two mitzvahs available, chad mitzvah nami lo levin, should he not do one mitzvah as well? At least he should do the one mitzvah that he has. So if he only has a shoyan, why shouldn't he put it on? If he only has a shorosh, why shouldn't he put it on? So the Gemara says, "Umikrimai sava." Okay, but the fact is, Rav Chista did say this to begin with. So what was he thinking? And the answer is, "Zera shem yifsha," because Rav Chista, to begin with, held that if you're allowed to put on only one, then when you don't have the other, then he may be pesheya, he may get careless and not even bother buying the other one. He's going to think, you know what? I have one mitzvah; it's good enough. But he figured, as Rav Chista originally figured, that if therefore you tell him to put on to not put on one of them unless he has both of them, then that will motivate him to go and get the other one so that he can fulfill the mitzvah. But eventually Rav Chista realized that no, it's not really so. Whatever mitzvah a person has available to him, he should do. We are going to have to motivate him to get both of them. But the fact is, if he does either one by itself, he is mekayim a mitzvah. Okay. So the Gemara says, "Amar of Sheshes, Kol she'ena maniach tefillin. Anybody who doesn't put on tefillin over b'shmoina esse is over on eight mitzvahs aseh, because you have four parashiyos in the tefillin, and each one of them So Rashi gives two explanations. The first explanation is that there's four parashiyos, and in each one, twice it says to put on tefillin. Because in each one it mentions the tefillin shoyad and the tefillin shorosh. So therefore that makes eight mitzvahs. Rashi then gives another explanation." That if you go through the individual parashiyos, you have in Kaddish, you have v'hoyel cholois and v'shamarta esachuka, and then you have in v'hoyeti v'yach v'hoyel ois ha'yodcha. So far that's three. In Shema k'shartem v'hoyel tetofes, and in v'hoyem shemaya k'shartem v'hoyel tetofes. So far that's seven. And one more is when it says v'samtem es dvara eila, which we learned in the previous parak. That means v'samtem es dvara eila al levavchem, means that the tefillin shoyad has to be on the left arm near the heart. So therefore, that makes eight. So it's another way of counting eight. So if a person fails to put on tefillin, then he's over on those 8 mitzvahs aseh. If a person doesn't have tzitzis on his garment, so we mean, you know, as we learned before, that it means that he has a four-cornered garment and he fails to put tzitzis on it, not when he doesn't have a four-cornered garment at all, where then, as we learned a few days ago, in principle, he's not actually chayav to get one, although we learned from the story of the malach and the tzinner that nevertheless he should. Anyway, so if he doesn't have tzitzis on an actual four-cornered garment, over b'chamisha eser, then he's over on 5 esers. Because 5 times in the psukim there, it says, v'osu lahem tzitzis, v'nosnu al tzitzis takfan of psil tefeles, v'hoya lacham al tzitzis, ur'isem, that's 4 in that parasha, and then you have in kiseitze, when it says the 5th, when it says again about tzitzis, it says, g'dilim tassel lacha, make for yourself tassels. So therefore, there's the 5th one. So there you have the five S's that in connection with tzitzis. Any koyin who does not go up to the duchan to bench the people with birkas koyinim, over b'shloisha eser, he's being over on 3 eses. Because it says koysevorchu, it says omer lahem, and b'samu es shmi. So therefore, you have 3 times when it says that they should bench the people. Tosfos points out that would be specifically if they were called to come up. So we have nowadays the Chazan calls out Koyanim and the Koyanim are there. But if they didn't call them up. Then he's not being over on this. Tosfos points out that even you don't announce koyanim when there's only 1 koyan in shul. Nevertheless, though, he still does go up. So Chazan doesn't call up koyanim because that would be an interruption. But nevertheless, the koyan does go up to the duchan by himself when there's only 1. Tosfos also discusses over here certain other details of how the Chazan and the Koyanim do Birkas Koyanim. V'chol she'en la mezuzah b'pischoi, continues Rav Sheshes, anybody who doesn't have a mezuzah on his door, over b'shnei eseh, is being over on 2 mitzvahs aseh. And the 2 mitzvahs are uchsavtam uchsavtam, because in the 2 parashiyos of Shema, it says you should write them on your doorposts. And the Gemara finishes off, v'omer eshlofish, v'cholam meniach tefillin marich yomim. Anybody who wears tefillin will live long. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Hashem aleihem yichyu. Hashem is on them; they will live. Meaning, those who bear on themselves the name of Hashem, yichyu, they will live. Olachol behem chayeluchi, and to complete with them the life of my spirit, the sachlimeni, and you will cure me, v'hachayeni, and make me alive. In context, this is from a tefillah that Chizkiyahu said after he was dangerously ill, and then Yeshaya did a nest to cure him. So he wrote a public letter thanking Hashem for saving him, and then this pasuk is in there. But we see Hashem aleim yichyu. Marsha adds that also Hashem aleim yichyu refers to the shel rosh, which is above the person. And as we learned before, Kishem Hashem nikra alecha, the goyim will see that the name of Hashem is on you, the yoram uneta, and they'll be afraid of you. So that's Hashem aleim yichyu. Then when the pasuk continues, l'chol b'hem chayeruchi, to complete with them the life of my spirit, that would refer to the shoyad, which is placed, as we said, near the heart, which is where you have your heartbeat and where your life force comes from. Okay. So now we have gone through the whole part of the Masechta that deals with the dinim of tzitzis and tefillin and mezuzah and all that. Now we're getting back to the topic of korbanos. Since the first Mishnah had told us that there were certain mitzvahs, namely tchelas and white, and shoyad and tefillin, shoyad and shorosh, that are not ma'akiv one another, so now we're going to talk about, as far as korbanos, what is also not ma'akiv one another. We know that whenever you bring an animal, that certain animal korbanos have to be accompanied by a minchas mesachim, as we learned earlier in the Masechta. The Torah tells us in Parashas Shlach, if a person is bringing an ola or a shlomim, and also the various other kinds of korbanos that are considered subsets of shlomim, such as a todah, and then you also have the todah, the ram of the nazir, both of those are subspecies of shlomim. In addition, you also have the korban, the oshim of the mitzvah comes in the mesachim. The mesachim is flour and oil mixed together, plus wine. So the Mishnah says, "Asovas v'Hashem and ein ma'akvenas ayayin." The flour and the oil are not ma'akv of the wine. So if you don't have both of them, you bring only the one, and you still yotze. V'lo ayayin ma'akven, and the wine is not ma'akv of them. If you only have the wine, then you don't have the flour and oil, then you don't bring that. Tosfos points out the implication is that the flour and oil are ma'akv of one another. And Tosfos discusses where exactly we get that from. Tosfos finds a hard time, has a hard time finding where we learned that from. Because we learned back in the previous Perek, we talked about that by minchas v'dava, by an individual's korban, you have to have both the flour and the oil, and it's ma'ak of one another, so therefore it would be the same thing with minchas nesachim. But the Radvaz gives another reason, because the minchas nesachim, it always says, the pasuk always uses the expression, bolo b'shemen, they're mixed with oil, so that means there has to be oil, and there has to be flour. So therefore, so those two components are ma'ak of one another, but we're saying the wine, which is not mixed with them, is not ma'ak of them, nor are they ma'ak of it. Similarly, hamatonis shal mizbech hachitzen. Similarly, the sprinklings or applications of blood that have to be done on the mizbech hachitzen in ma'ak v'sidusu are not ma'ak of one another, as we learned back in Zvachim, even with a chatas, according to Vesilil, and halacha is like Vesilil, even with a chatas, you did only matona achas, and you yotze, and you don't need anything else. There is, of course, a mitzvah to do the rest of them, but it's not ma'ak. Okay, so the Gemara says, turn it on, we learn in a Braisa, let's talk about how we know this matter of the Nesachim not being ma'ak of one another. The Pasuk says, U'minchosam v'neskehem. The Pasuk says, by the Korbanos, it says, their menachos and their Nesachim. Rashi and Zvachim explain that it refers to the Korbanos of Sukkos. Tosfos over here objects and says, it can't be that one. Tosfos has several objections, and they explain that it actually means the fact that it says minchosim. First of all, among other things, the Gemara is going to say that it means that you can bring the nesachim even by night. There's nothing in the words of minchosim and eskeim that implies that it can be done by night. And then Tosfos has some other questions. So what it means is in connection with the korbanos of Shavuos in Parshas Emor, it says that you have to bring certain korbanos, and then you bring them in chosim and eskehem. And then it says in chosim and eskehem, in between the oila and the words ishe reyach nichoyach, that means just like the ishe, just like the burning can be done by night, so also the nesachim can be done by night. So we can learn from that, first of all, when it says minchasim and then eskeim, hove mincha v'achakach hove nesachim. First of all, first bring the mincha, offer the flour and the oil, offer the flour and oil mixture on the mizbeach, v'achakach hove nesachim, then bring the nesachim and pour the wine. Rebbe says there's a different way you can learn the pasuk. The pasuk says zevach on nesachim. The pasuk refers to a korban and nesachim. Hove zevach v'achakach hove nesachim. First bring the korban, first bring the limbs of the korban, and only then bring the Sachin. According to the Chachamim, the order is the korban itself, then the flour oil mixture, then the wine, whereas Rebbe is saying, no, on the contrary, it means first the korban, then the wine, then the flour oil mixture. So the Gemara says, V'Rebbe nami yaksivin v'chassim eskeim. Well, what is Rebbe doing with the words of v'chassim eskeim, which implies the mincha comes first? The answer is, Ahumi Bari, Rebbe uses that to learn, v'chassim eskeim balayla, that it means that you can offer those minachas and those nesachim even by night. Rashi points out earlier in the previous perek, we learned that minchas nesachim has to be offered by day. So Rashi refers to Gemara and Tzmura, that says it depends whether they're coming with the korban or whether they're coming by themselves. Now, let's say, for example, you could have a person brought a korban and he didn't have the flour and wine and oil right then, so now he's bringing them later, then the din is those can be offered on the mizbeach even at night. So you can do that. Tosfos points out that actually the Gemara says that we don't really learn it from the words of Menachosim and Eskeim. We actually learn it from a different pasuk, but it's common enough that the Gemara will bring us when it's sort of an incidental thing like here, that it'll bring the limud, or the simpler limud, even if it's lamaskana, it's not what we actually learn it from. So Rebbe says that's what we learn from that pasuk. Tafila balayla, even by night, and uminchosim and eskeim afilu lamachar, and it means that you could bring them even the next day, you could bring them even days later. Actually, this is what Tosfos says, that really this is what we learn. The fact that you can bring them by night, yeah, we learn from uminchosim and eskeim. The fact that you can bring them tomorrow, we learn from a different passage, but the Gemara is just simplifying things over here. So Rebbe is learning that. Rebbe is learning that from the words of Menchosim and Eskeim, so therefore he says it doesn't tell us anything about the order in which they're offered. Well, the Rabbanan nami yoksiv zevach on esachim. What are the Rabbanan doing with the word zevach on esachim? And the answer is, Ahum libari lelechid ze'iri. They use that to learn what ze'iri said. Da'am ze'iri, ein nesachim, miskanshin, ela b'shchitas ha-zevach. The nesachim, all of them, the flour and oil and wine, only become holy as far as that they can't be then repurposed for another korban, only when, ela b'shchitas ha-zevach, only when the korban is shechted. Up until the carbon is shafted, you could take those and sell them and decide I'm going to use them for a different carbon instead. But after the carbon is shafted, you cannot. Rashi Ksavyan, later on the sefer, explains another point as well, that at that point, then the lina clock starts ticking. The lina clock starts ticking, so if you don't offer it for that night, then it's going to be possible. If it's taken out of the Azara, it'll be possible. All of that begins only when the carbon is shafted. Well, the Rabbanim say we learn that from the word, so therefore, the Rabbanim learn that from the word Zevach, from the word Zevach and Sachin. Rebbe is using that to teach us that first comes Zevach, then directly after it comes the Sachin, but now, we're saying that instead the Chachamim use it to learn this din, that the Nesachim become holy only when the Korban is shafted. Okay, the Rebbe Nami and Boiler, the Chidizi, the Rabbanim Nami and Boiler, who, Le, Minchasim and Eskam, Balaila Minchasim and Eskam, Afilamacher, don't they have to both agree with each other's dinim as well? Rebbe needs a source for Ze'iri's din about that they become holy only when the Korban is shafted, and the Chachamim need a source that you can bring the Menachas and the Sachim even by night or even the next day. So if they're learning from the respective Sukkim, and each one is saying, I'm learning from this Pasuk, the order of the Korbanis, and you, and then the other opinion is learning from that about the, one of these dinim. Well, where is Rebbe learning the Dinyan? Where's Rebbe learning the Ziniz Din? And where is the Rabbanon learning the Dinyan about bringing them by night? So the Gemara says, no, that's not the reason. That's not what they're darshaning of, is the different psukim and chosim and eskem versus zevach and esachim. Ella, hainu tamayu zerabbanon, rather the reason behind the opinion of the Chachamim is the dichtiv, oila o mincha, because the Pasuk says oila and mincha, and that implies right after the oila you bring the mincha. Well, the Rebbe nami oksim oila o mincha. Well, what is Rebbe going to answer? What is Rebbe going to answer to that? So the Gemara says, you're right, that doesn't work either. Ella, the boim mazevach to kula amalei pligi. You know what? If the nesachim come with the korban, then everybody, there's no argument. They'll both agree. Mincha v'achakach nesachim. First will be the mincha. Then will be the nesachim. Doxim oylo mincha on the strength of the pasuk oylo mincha. The machlokas will be only when the nesachim are being brought by themselves and not together with the and not together with their parent carbon. So again, let's say the person did not have the flour, the wine, and the oil available right now, and he's bringing them now. A different explanation. The Drid brings an explanation, means we're going to learn at the end of the Masechta that a person is able, we touched on it before, that a person is able to bring a minchas nesachim all by itself. A person can make a nedava, I'm going to bring a minchas nesachim. So that would be another case that we're talking about. So now there's the machlokas. Rabbanan Sabri, mid boin mazevach, mincha v'achatach nesachim. Since when you bring it with the korban, then the order is first mincha then nesachim. The same thing bifnei atzman nami. The same thing when they're being brought by themselves. Mincha v'achatach nesachim. First comes mincha then comes nesachim. So in other words, the Chacham is saying you have to be consistent. If the mincha comes before the nesachim, or when it's together with the korban, then it should, even if it's by itself. The Rebbe, whereas Rebbe takes the view, he says the difference is no. The difference is, when you're talking about the Mizbeach eating, consuming something, being burnt in the fire, once you're beginning with that, then you want to continue with that, you want to finish off with that. So you have, you're burning the korban, which is like the Mizbeach, the fire on the Mizbeach, eating the korban, therefore, logically, the next thing after that should be the mincha, which is also burnt in the fire as well. And only then will come the drinking, which is the wine being poured. Avol b'fnei atzman, but says Rebbe, if the nesachim are coming by themselves, then Rebbe holds nesachim adifi, the nesachim would be stronger. Hoyol d'misamra shira alayhu, because shira is said in connection with the pouring of the wine. Meaning, in other words, that the Gemara explains in Erchin that when do you say shira, when a korban is being brought, when the wine of it is being poured. Now Tosfos points out that it's not necessarily when the Nesachim are being brought by themselves, then in fact the Gemara leaves that question open in Erchin whether there is a Shira at that point. But nevertheless, the Gemara is just saying, in other words, that the wine is, if it had been brought with the Korban, then it would be a time for saying Shira, and therefore even when it's being brought by itself, it means the wine has a certain like residual importance, such that Rebbe says it should come ahead of the Mincha. So in other words, Shittim HaKobetzes puts it differently, that since the Nesachim, when they come with the Korban, you say Shira, then therefore even when they come by themselves, they're still stronger than the Mincha. A couple of the Achronim talk about the Keren Oda, the Zevach Toda, talk about that the whole Machlokas then might only be by a Korban Sibur. By an individual's Korban, you don't say Shira anyway. So therefore, so there'd be no reason for Rebbe to say that the wine is any stronger. On the other hand, there's another way of looking at it that maybe after all, Shiri Rabbeinu Yechiel Michel points out that after all, maybe not. Maybe if we're saying that, look, in this case, in this particular case, no Shira is being said on the wine anyway, because again, or maybe it's not being said, because again, the Gemara in Erchin asks whether you say Shira in such a case. So in practice, there may not be any actual Shira, but in principle, in other words, the point is, it is the kind of thing for which Shira is done, that maybe that's reason enough even by a Yochid's Korban, that also that the wine should come first according to them. So there are two different ways of looking at it, whether Rebbe and the Chacham would disagree also with an individual's Korban, or whether they're only arguing when it's coming to Nesachim of a public Korban. But either way, the Gemara clarifies that's only when the Nesachim are being brought by themselves, not with the Korban. Okay, the Halacha is like the Chachamim. So therefore, the mincha always comes before the nesachim. On the other hand, as the Mishnah had said, they're not ma'ak of one another. If you don't have the wine, then you bring the nesachim anyway. And if you don't have the if you don't have the wine, then you bring the flour and oil anyway. And if you don't have the flour and oil, then you bring the wine anyway. Okay. The Mishnah had continued that the sprinklings or applications of blood that are done on the Mizbeach HaChitzen are not ma'ak of one another. We learned in a Braisa, we learned this in Zvachim as well. How do we know about any blood that's applied to the Mizbeach HaChitzen, that if he put it only one application, he was Machaper, even though you're supposed to do two with many Korbanos, Shayim Shein Arba, four in the case of a Chatas, nevertheless, you yotze with only one, Shenema, because the passage is Vedam Zvachecha, Yishofeth, Al Mizbach Hashem Alekecha, the blood of your Korbanos should be poured on the Mizbeach of Hashem, and then the passage continues, you can eat the meat. So therefore, so in other words, Yishofeth, where Rashi and Nin Zvachim explained that if it meant to pour it, as in Shtei Matron Shrein Arba, then it would have had to say the word Sovich, which says Yishofeth, it should be poured, so it's enough to do one pour, and it's enough to do one pour, and you Yotze, the Korban, as opposed to, we learned extensively in Zvachim, that when it comes to, when it comes to the Hatoris HaPnimius, it's not so. Then Matona Achas Men Na'akovus, but when it comes to the Mizbeach HaChitzen, one Matona is enough. And if you didn't do the other ones, you're still Yotze, and thus our Mishnah says they're not ma'akev one another.